Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the first six letters to the angels of the churches in Revelation, Jesus had praised pastors and people in various ways for various things, for faith and for faithfulness, for love and for works of love, for hard work, for enduring hardship with patience, for maintaining pure doctrine, for disciplining those who erred. Jesus also had warned and rebuked pastors and people for various things, for lovelessness, for pride, for tolerating wickedness and wicked behavior and false doctrine in their midst, and for hypocrisy. This evening we consider the final letter, the letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea, with its very harsh rebuke of apathy, indifference, what we'll call carnal security. But also, he addresses them with his earnest plea for pastor and people to repent, and he offers his gracious promise to those who do. First, Jesus emphasizes this about himself. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now I know that you know that the word Amen, or Amen, however you want to pronounce it, does not mean the prayer is over now. It also does not mean the sermon is over now, wake up. You know that the word Amen is a Hebrew word that means yes, firm, truth, trustworthy, or as we say in our small catechism, yes, yes, it shall be so. What Jesus says shall be so. It's perfectly reliable. He is perfectly reliable. What he says comes to pass. He gave witness to the truth through Scripture and also throughout his earthly life, culminating in Good Friday when St. Paul says this about Jesus, that Christ Jesus witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Jesus is also the beginning of God's creation, as he says, not as the first thing God created, that would be false teaching, but as him through whom all things were made, as John puts it in the first chapter of his gospel, as the word from the developer goes out, begin the house, is really the beginning of the house. Jesus says to the angel or to the pastor of the church in Laodicea, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. If only you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Now, neither cold nor hot. Some people think that cold here would be an outright loveless unbeliever, and hot would refer to an ardent and true believer. I don't think that matches with Jesus' words, though, when he says, if only you were cold or hot. I can't think of a time when he wanted someone to be an unbeliever. And also with his threat to spit this pastor and the people who were like him out of his mouth. Because you know as well as I do that a cold drink on a hot day is just as pleasant as a hot drink on a cold day. So I think it makes more sense to say that those are both extremes, but extremes of good things. The pastor or believer who is like a hot cup of coffee or tea, has a fervent, boiling over love for Jesus and for his fellow Christians. He's eager and ready to serve. He has a faith that's never satisfied with its knowledge of God, but always has to be learning more, studying more, and boldly confessing the gospel of Christ in the world. When the world around is cold and uncaring, these believers are zealous for the Lord and for his people. Jesus longs for a pastor and people to be like that. The pastor or believer who is like a cold glass of iced tea also loves Jesus. And when the world around starts heating up in the midst of persecution and suffering and hardship, these believers have a refreshing stability about them, a tried and tested faith, a demeanor that isn't bubbly and overpowering, but that's ready to soothe and to refresh those who are frantic or worried over their sins or over the wickedness in the world. They offer quiet encouragement. They pray with a quiet trust. When life around them heats up, these believers remain cool and calm and collected. Jesus longs for pastor and people to be like that in those situations. Now, to be hot may also include to experience the comfort of the gospel warmly and to be rejoicing in God, while to be cold may also include to be anxious or desperate and in need of comfort. Jesus can work with either one of those. What he can't tolerate, what he can't put up with, what he can't work with are those pastor or people who are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. He describes that lukewarmness a bit further. You say, I am rich and have become rich. I need nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. To be lukewarm, then, is to lack true contrition, to feel confident and secure in yourself, to see yourself as doing fine, as needing nothing. There is nothing worse than for a Christian to say, I'm doing fine. I have plenty of faith. God and I, we're buddies. If I hear the word of God, it's fine. If I don't hear the word of God, that's fine too. If I go to the Lord's Supper, it's fine. If I miss it, it's fine. I have all the knowledge of Scripture that I need. I have all the strength that I need. Now, to know that you, a poor, miserable sinner, are safe and secure in Christ Jesus because of his merit, because of his gracious forgiveness and promised protection, that's one thing. To feel secure in yourself is something else, is something deadly. To view yourself by yourself as a not so wretched, not so poor, not so miserable sinner, or as no sinner at all, is nothing short of delusional. By nature, we all are those things. By nature, we're impoverished when it comes to the righteousness of God, blind to the things of God, and shamefully naked before God, naked with all our selfish motives and shameful desires and words and deeds, without the covering of Christ's righteousness. While we live in daily contrition and repentance and faith, while we take refuge in Christ by faith, we are covered with him, even as we were first covered with him in our baptism, where Paul says, you have put on Christ if you are baptized into Christ. And we're no longer seen by God then as wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But if we step outside of the security of Christ And imagine that we're doing fine on our own, or that we're not so sinful anymore. Then that's the very definition of a false sense of security. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may be clothed, and so that the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and to anoint your eyes with eye salve, so that you may see. No one is rich until God makes him rich with pure gold, with true humility, with true wisdom, and with genuine faith. We buy it from God, not with money and not with our good works, but with genuine pleading and prayer, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." The white garments are the righteousness of Christ, which covers us only by faith, which is the only thing that makes us able to stand before God without shame. The eye salve is the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, which comes through His Word, to heal our blindness toward the things of God and toward our own miserable condition without the white garments of Christ's righteousness. Whomever I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. People today have such a hard time understanding rebuke that comes from love. Any word of correction is seen as yelling at me. He's yelling at me. She's yelling at me because he hates me or she hates me. That's never been what true discipline is about, or correction or rebuke. From Jesus, it's pure love that inspires him to rebuke and correct. If you see any of this lukewarmness or carnal security in yourself, for the love of God, don't brush aside Jesus' words. Don't go away angered or despairing because of his rebuke. He rebukes those he loves, not to harm, but to save. If he didn't care about you, that's when he would let you be. He'd let you go on in your self-destructive indifference, as he did at various times in Israel's history in the Old Testament. When he took away his prophets and their word of rebuke was when he was most angry and when they were in the most danger. He would let you go on living in your delusion that your faith is alive and well if it's actually lukewarm. But he cares about you, and so he pleads with you to be zealous and to repent. Get serious about your spiritual life and about your soul, about your deep and desperate, constant need for Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have supper with him, and he with me. Now, he knocks with his word. He's knocking right now with his word. You open the door of your heart, not by your own natural powers or by some choice or decision you could make for him on your own, but by listening to his word. Those who don't dismiss his word or stubbornly reject what they hear will have Jesus come in and dwell with them and make a home with them. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That's further incentive to watch out for and to set aside deadly carnal security and lukewarmness toward God and the things of God. Not only do you get Jesus as a dinner guest with you in your heart, but you get to sit with him on his throne. You get to be associated with the King of creation for all eternity. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I hope and pray that our review of these seven letters to the seven churches of Revelation has been an encouragement to you to keep hearing the warnings and the praises of Jesus, the threats and the promises, the urging and the inspiring. With the tool of His Word, the Holy Spirit, as a master builder, will continue, on the one hand, to demolish everything that threatens your faith, and on the other hand, to build you up in faith and in love, and to keep you steadfast until the end. May the Holy Spirit keep you hearing and heeding every day, but especially now, as we are about to head into Holy Week. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.